Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Happy Vibrant New Year. I'm Glenn Brooks. I'm in the sunshine right now. It's quite... When we're in the sunshine or the brightening, I wish you guys... Actually, I wish I recorded something I wanted to share with you guys. I had this dialogue with Dr. Annie Rosenfarb. And one of the takeaways I wanted to share with you today before I invite our Vibrant Living team to say hello is brightening. Those moments when things seem bright. As one of the things he said to me in relation to when patients come from around the world, they come from around the world to be treated with their eyes. But he made it a point to say that this brightening. And I'm going to get into that because my whole relationship with Dr. Gail Randall, who I'll introduce first, is around brightening. And I want to explain more and be specific. And then I want to talk to you guys about a film and how I discovered what acting is. And it has nothing to do with acting. All right. Let's go to Dr. Gail Randall, our general and medical advisor to the show. And some people call her spiritual healer. She ran away from her house when she was 3 to discover the world of horses. She escaped to UCLA, became a professor, and then became a visionary and anthropology healer, helping people go beyond their past and integrate it to a new level of healing and well-being. Dr. Gail Randall.
Wow, thank you, Glenn. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well,
Happy New Year to you. I like the brightening, lightening, and enlightening, and becoming enlightened in this new year, the new decade. It is going to be the decade of moving into our authentic, enlightened, brightened self. I love it. I love it so hard.
That's our new t-shirt, by the way. Loving it so hard. We're going to have a Vibrant Living t-shirt. It's going to be a hemp t-shirt. I'll let you guys know about it next week. All right, Sherry the dog mystic. She's here. She was born on another planet where she had deep rapport with animals and saw another way to work with animals that has to do with allowing the animal to be the brilliant animal it is, the dog that it is. So that suppressing the dog is a very small part of it. Isn't anything to do with genuine dog attunement, dog education. And I met Sherry about almost a year ago, and my vision was to bring this a different conversation around dogs. And when I met the dog mystic, it was a fulfillment of a vision. And here you are today living the vision together. Your forthcoming book is called The Dog Mystic, and I'm being in deep tune with your dog. Happy Vibrant New Year, and here you are.
Happy Vibrant New Year. I am so grateful, and The Dog Mystic is evolving, and I am looking forward to the forthcoming book of The Dog Mystic.
I'm excited. I want to put that chapter in there. Three Rottweilers, three healings. Three Rottweilers, three healings. That was something you said, Dr. Gail. That was that Jerry said, oh, we got to speak to this woman, because you shared on the show, on our format, about this woman has three different diseases, and three Rottweilers took care, one, each one took care of one of those diseases. And Sherry says to me, we got to track that down. I was thinking, we do. That's great stuff.
Yes.
Great stuff.
It's amazing, and you know the animals are here to heal us. So they're magical.
No, I
magical. Yeah. So.
Miss Lisa LaRose, Lisa took the only known picture of me hula hooping with three hula hoops. Thank you, Lisa, for being a. I never did that again, by the way. But you walked into the park when I was doing three hula hoops, and we were getting ready to design a show, an ongoing show with you in Northern California, the Santa Cruz market. All right, producer, and what did you say a moment ago? You said it's not boring. Happy, blessed New Year to you.
I feel very blessed. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, very blessed to be connected to so many wonderful people and to really start the new year off in a wonderful way. You know, talking about brightening and vibrancy and what I fondly say is 2020 clarity of vision, you know,
yeah.
What we're
yeah.
going to be a very fortunate year.
Yeah.
Very, yeah.
First, you know, I see us having parties. We're going to do a pre-publication party all around the country for the Dog Mystic book. And I'm so inspired about that. I'm so inspired about working with Kevin Anderson. Kevin Anderson Associates is going to be behind the book, and he's amazing. Oh, I don't want to, you know, actually, I wanted to talk about being a vibrant speaker. And I wanted to say it's very different than what people think. We had a meeting last night with Janet Carafa around our event at Carnegie Hall. Now it looks like it's going to be two events. We're going to do a back-to-back, two events, one evening after the other. And then it looks like we're already looking into next year. So at some point, I'll share the story about Carnegie Hall. I wanted to actually share something. Oh, I'll share something quickly. And I want to ask you guys this. So I want to ask you guys about what's a distinction that totally opened a lid on your life? That totally, like, once you knew this distinction existed, it changed everything. And I want to tell you the one distinction that kind of, so I live my life kind of tuning into distinctions. And so two came this year. So one of them actually came with Dr. Gail Randall. So I wanted to tell you about that. And I wanted to tell you about, I met Eric Morris, who I consider the world's greatest acting teacher, hands down. My daughter's a student of him, and he's going to be 90. So the first time I ever called Eric, he said a distinction to me, and the title of his book is, one of his books, he has like 10, is No More Acting, Please. No More Acting, Please. So as soon as I realized that acting had nothing to do with acting, it had to do with conveying the character, the energy of the person, like how do you convey and communicate the depth of the feeling of that character? And as soon as I knew that, it was like night and day. Someone just said to me recently that they were in this conflict with another student in the acting class, and this one of the students gave the other person the finger, and Eric just said, "Wow, now there's something to work with." And I thought, what a metaphor for speaking and something to work with. There's something to work with here. Don't get discouraged. All right, so the other distinction I want to share that I experienced with Dr. Gail Randall that I'm actually teaching with her, I wanted to share this insight because a lot of times, you know how we say to someone, I got that, or you already said that to me, and we realize they didn't really get it, and then sometimes they say it again, and you realize we're saying it again, but it's not a memory thing. It's something else. So I went to this passage with Gail. I wanted to tell you about it because I mentioned about brightening. And that's one of the experiences people would share when another of our team members, Dr. Andy Rosenfarb, was saying to me that when people came around the world with serious eye conditions, the thing that they would report, because in the language of healing, what's the language of healing? By the way, this is what happens when you become a professional speaker. You get to talk about cool stuff and get paid. I just want to recommend it to you. So he was saying to me that we had this meeting. It was me, Jesse McGuire, and Andy. And we were diving into this next year of doing these one-of-a-kind shows on vibrant seeing. And another aspect of that is soul seeing. So when I first met Gail, and how I met Gail is a story, by the way. The story is called Miracle Down by the Dumpster. Miracle Down by the Dumpster is kind of when I I confess. By the way, I just want to say to you guys, I know this is going to kind of, you know, stretch you a little bit. I never met Dr. Gail Randall before, but I knew in my soul I needed to speak to her. I thought, wow, she went to UCLA, and she's a professor, and she's a spiritual healer. I thought, yeah, this is someone. I didn't even realize at that moment on a linear level that she was very close, one of the most treasured people in my life, Dr. Valerie Hill. She studied all the healers around the world. So the first time I talked to Dr. Gowen, I kind of made a confession. And part of my confession was, I don't know where to go next. I have no idea. This thing happened. And so I wanted to share with you guys, because in my book, I have a chapter called Golden Feedback. I kind of have a handbook for people who want to be kind of spontaneous and be very creative speakers and really lead the field at places like Carnegie Hall. So one of the things I talk about is that most of the feedback we get in life is so-so, annoying, sometimes not useful. I'm kind of saying in this chapter that the golden feedback, where you kind of feel like you see another aspect of the sky, or you like all of a sudden you realize, well, you've heard of walking, you walk, but really, have you walked in a way where when you walk, you can feel your organs, you can feel this pulse of energy, because it's a miraculous thing walking, right? So what happened with Gail, this is another distinction. I was going through a period of transition. On some level, I kind of felt I was going to have a different experience. And I went through this period of insecurity. And so what I developed with Dr. Randall, and this is in our course, Healing Beyond Belief, I went through this period of time where Gail walked me through this great valley of doubt. And so my valley of doubt was that I had this sort of inner eye injury. And I was so scared. It was sort of hard. And I felt like the divine brought us together. So there was a period of time where I'd get up in the morning, and I realized when you're having a fear response, when you're locked up, it's very hard to get out of it. It just ain't easy. So what happens is your perception comes, and then you think, oh, my God, it's worsening. So I had this period of time where I'd get up in the morning, and I would drive. And if something didn't look right, I would just freak me out, because I realized that our whole life really is is how we see and how we brighten and how we bring brightening. And so I trusted Gail in a way that she was my deep sister during this passage. And so when she reminded me, she was never impatient with me. She stayed with me till the click came. So the click was, oh my God, I'm actually in this, and I'm close to this, the healing source. It's in me, and I'm going to get through this. And it was like that. Then my nervous system, once the click occurred, my rest changed, and I went from like shaking to resting, which is really this process we go through. And you can't talk someone out of a process. You got to kind of be in this other quality of patience until they get the click. And of course, I was incredibly receptive to Gail's click, and she said it to me. One time she said it to me in a really funny way. I told her something, and she goes, well, your hair's not on fire. And I thought it was funny. It pulled my anxiety away. I thought, okay. So I want to thank you. A healing distinction was that my eyesight was coming along in a way that I couldn't perceive. Like, I couldn't perceive the process. But what I got from you in that journey was that I could sort of rest in something that I wanted to rest in. I just didn't know how to feel into it. And so our conversations, our clicking sessions, if you will, allowed me to kind of go to this other level. And so a distinction is something where you go beyond the known, and it's a beautiful thing when you trust someone enough who's not going to be like impatient or say like, I've told you this before. They're going to say, okay, let's click here for a moment. So I want to say that was a huge distinction. I really feel a lot of our relationship has really been about that, really, and deepening. And so making a distinction in our lives is really what this other level of learning as a human being. It's kind of a whole other level of learning that sort of freed the habitual memory. And it's a similar thing with Sherry. I had this with Sherry, because I felt like, oh, yeah, Sherry really, from the inside, she wants to impact the world with a different relationship with dogs that's not out there. So I want to thank you. Happy New Year, Gail. Rings deeply. And so it's kind of like Moshe Feldenkrais, one of my teachers, he used to say, like, human beings don't need body work. What human beings really need is they need to work with their brain in a way where the brain, because your brain is a source of your movements in life, all your movements. So once you unlock the brain a little bit, your movements change. So that was so learning distinctions. All right, Chair, I'm gonna go. All right, actually, yeah, please comment, please.
Beautiful and enlightening, enlightened is you're enlightened and enlightened because you were basically, I was your healer, I was your shaman, I stayed with you through the dark night of the soul, and you had someone struggling with you until you got it, you know, you had that shift in perspective, and that allowed the healing to come in, and you realized that it was a visionary change, that the change was not as physical as it was spiritual. It was a beautiful process.
It still is. It's so, it's more life, it's more brightening. I guess that whole idea of brightening, and I realized, like, when I was talking to Annie, I'll share this with you guys, because I had another moment of, I don't know, relational intuition with the universe, really feeling like, oh my God, when I heard Annie's name and I told Gail, I knew that this was someone we were gonna bring this message to the level. One of the things he said on the phone call that really struck me, and this relates to brightening in relationship, is that in the conventional world of a lot of eye doctors, they send people home with an eye death sentence. And so I knew when I was on the call with Andy and Gail, Dr. Randall, I realized, yeah, I'm committed to sharing the things where people could, not just their vision could be enhanced. And it's very specific in terms of lines on an eye board, you know, when you go for eye tests, like the people's physical vision change. But this idea that this, and Gail used to say it to me, that part of what was happening was it was another, in some sense, the spiritual vision, which I was sort of in. But when you can have that kind of sacred conversation and see it with someone else, it's just a whole nother, you know, it's sort of like, it kind of blows my mind. It reminds me of a series that I did on dentistry before I met Dr. Saul Pressner, who's out of this planet. He's out of this world. He does something called biomimetic dentistry. But one of the things I realized during the series is it's kind of amazing if you think about it. Dentists live in a sea of so much feedback that's profound, unusual. They work at, you know, they see the tongue, and yet for a lot of dentists, they don't even notice what that really means. So, like, when I met Saul, and he explained to me that most of the stuff they do that's very invasive, it's not holistic. Like getting crowns and getting all these things isn't rebuilding teeth to your natural, bite. So distinctions, healing distinctions. So I just want to see, I want to go to you, Sherry.
Okay.
I want to go to you, Sherry. Because here you are, happy, blessed New Year. I was so happy at, I don't know, 12:15, there Sherry was. And it was kind of like one of the best ways to go to sleep was to see your text. And I was so happy because I had wanted to connect with you. And it kind of was a confirmation that the universe is a friendly place to be, which is Einstein said. He says when you get up in the morning, there's only one relevant question. Is the universe a friendly place to be? And I said, yes, Sherry, just text me.
But in all the busyness of the holiday season. The kids were happy and family was happy, and I reached out and wished you a happy new year. So a blessed, amazing 2020. New year, new beginning.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
So
and just grateful to be here and be healthy. So
yeah. No, I was having some really strong, you know, so, okay, I want to share how I work with speakers a little bit. So what happens is I get a group of people who want to be speakers, vibrant speakers, and what they want to do is learn to speak without a script, and they want to learn how to, like, talk from a level that's uncommon. Because what happens the way a lot of people learn to speak is they get a script, and they kind of do the script, and they don't really convey a lot of times really as deep meaning for them. So what happens is they come, and I had this one woman come, and she'd written like one of the first books early on about kind of hot yoga and nutrition. And she said, oh, people call me up sometimes and they'll say something like, I'm a really good speaker. And I go, really? And they said, yeah. And I said, okay. And she came. And she was a great speaker up until she got interrupted. So her name was Gina. So I said, you know, Gina, speaking, you got to be very strong. And part of being a vibrant speaker is I want you to take everything that interrupts you. So I asked her what the most, a thing that interrupted her the most. And she said, when someone walked by her when she was speaking. So I said, well, you know, I said, we're in a dojo right now. And I said, we're all here to kind of, you know, be humbled and discover our message. Because a lot of times, you know, we get invalidated early on. You know, the teacher doesn't call on you. A whole bunch of stuff happens. That's why people are so terrified of speaking, because it's like it puts you really vulnerable if you're a vibrant speaker. So I had people practice doing everything that annoyed her. So we had people walking in front of her. We had people bringing noisemakers. And so the first 3 months of the Vibrant Speakers, you know, dojo, is people go through all these. So they start by saying they're a really good speaker. Usually in the second month, they go, well, I didn't have a clue what speaking was. And then they'd be like, now I know why people have scripts, because they can rely on a script. And I said, well, part of the purpose of Vibrant Speaking is that you rely on your intuition and your intelligence and the group. So imagine when you're speaking, if you could tune into the group in a way where the group kind of gives you the direction of the talk. And this is for a lot of speakers. They don't even realize that's a possibility. So we'd practice all the things. Like, for instance, another pet peeve was that people have is they get introduced in an incorrect way. Someone messes up their book title. They mess up their last name. Very common. And so we have other people practice that. Now, the other thing is that this is really interesting is introduction. So let's say, Sherry, I would introduce you by saying, you know, that it was one of the most significant turning points in my life, meeting Sherry, because meeting Sherry meant that I could actually bring a message forward that really I wanted to share. The message was that I met this Rottweiler. I met a psychiatrist who gave me a Rottweiler. He called me up one day. He used to call me Buber, and Buber's from Martin Buber, the Jewish mystic. And he said, Buber, he goes, you need to come up and get this Rottweiler, because if you have this Rottweiler, it's going to clear out things in your energy and your grid. So he studied, he developed this thing called the grid work, because he said all these illnesses like Gilgaris disease and Parkinson's, people are stuck in this thing in the grid. And so he said that the Rottweiler, because he deals with life and death issues, I'm saying this is Sherry, and she's listening, and she started mirroring this back to me, and I'm like, wow, I'm at home with Sherry in this message. And then what happens, how I work with people, clients, is I kind of have imagery come to me, and then I thought, oh, yeah, this could be a book. And Sherry, you always gave me really good feedback. I always love what you shared with me. And you referenced Ben. And tonight, if you're available at 7 p.m., we're going to meet with this woman who works with the White Swiss Shepherd, because she said to me the other night that she's going to find me the right White Swiss Shepherd. And she said that I want to say the first conversation we had, I thought about you, Sherry, because the first thing she said about the White Swiss Shepherd is that when she was around them as a breeder, it was the first dog when she was around them. She says, oh, my God, these dogs are old souls. And it was like, I think I can relate to that. And then we talked about some other things. And so working with speakers is incredible. You know, the thing that I learned with working with speakers is what I call the release phenomena. The release phenomena, I just went through it the other day with a relative. The release phenomena, where you realize things are different than you thought they were, and it seems disorienting, frightening, and disturbing. So if you think you're a really good speaker, and then you realize, well, you know, there's another whole level. The beautiful thing is when you're with a group of people, I have amazing groups, wonderful people come. My vision for Carnegie Hall is we access this park. It's called Roosevelt Park, and we all walk and do these practices together. Now, I want to say today we have an exercise that Sherry's going to share with us. I wanted to do a little bit of an introduction. I know it went on a second. All right, so these exercises are practical mystical exercises where you can feel more of your dog's spirit. Your dog has a spirit and a vibe, you know that. It's hard to articulate. The part of why your dog's so healing is that your dog takes you beyond language and brings you to another language. And the dog mystic is educating you in the practical ways and intuitive ways. where you can have this relationship with your dog where you're not in this place of like yelling and being disturbed and trying to force your dog, which doesn't work. So what's our exercise? What exercise are we going to share with people today, Sherry? And then Lisa and Dr. Randall could jump in too. I want to make sure they catch the exercise deeply in our 70 million listeners as well.
Okay, so first I just want to let everybody know that I learned something new just recently that is pretty amazing. And, you know, some dogs do it and some dogs don't. So when and this is just
okay.
the moment of being in, like, you know, just being in the moment and being present with your dog and observing what they're doing. Because there's some dogs, when they go to the bathroom, they just, you know, they walk, they smell, and then, you know, they just go to the bathroom, no problem.
Yeah.
And then there's other dogs where they turn and they turn and they turn, and they're turning so many times it's almost impossible to, like, it's absolutely amazing that, like, they're not dizzy, you know. But what I found is some of the dogs turn just because,
hang on, give us a laugh break. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We all need to laugh, you know. But they are trying to pick the perfect spot that's in alignment with the magnetic field. So so they're turning and turning and turning, and they find the perfect spot because of the of that feeling. And so I was like, all right, well, this is just a fun fact that I saw, and, like, you know, that I posted on Facebook, and I was like, okay, this is very interesting. So then, of course, I had to research it. So there was a study that was done back in 2014, and they examined 70 dogs made up of 37 breeds over 2 years. And this is science. This is what, like, working with animals, not only dogs, but just science in general, is the patience of observation and being in that present moment. So what they did was they they researched out of these 70 dogs, 1,893 defecations and 5,582 urinations. And the researchers found calm magnetic field, so no, you know, no earthquakes, just on a everyday basis. The dogs preferred to excrete with the body being aligned along the north-south axis and totally avoiding east-west altogether. And they were observed in a free roaming environment, meaning they were not leashed and not influenced by walls, roads, that would influence any kind of linear movement. They're not exactly sure why they chose north and west, not north and south instead of east and west, but I think that's absolutely amazing because, I mean, that's just proof that the dogs are so in tune with the world and their environment and the feelings, and they have that sixth sense. So I thought that was just absolutely amazing.
That is amazing.
All right, we're gonna go back. We're gonna move forward with the amazing. Stay with us. Why don't you guys exhale a few times? I can exhale. I love that. So the dog has a sense of this click. I talked about my relationship with Gail, the click. All right, the click needs to be in tune. Stay with us. We've got more vibrant living and more vibrancy now.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
I just paused. I realized I... Welcome to Vibrant Living. Welcome. The dog missed us. The dog missed us. Been sharing some relevant, primal, intuitive, instinctive stuff. Dr. Gail Randall. I was talking about the click that I experienced with Dr. Gail Randall. So the click. Lisa LaRose. She's around a few dogs now and again. Maybe like 20 of them. all right. So I meet this guy, Sherry, and Gail, and Lisa. I meet him, and he's written this book. It's the most beautiful book I've ever seen. It's a gorgeous book. It's called To Be Healed by the Earth. And he goes to Brazil, and he gets a parasite. He's a psychologist. So he gets this parasite. And I guess I just think it's not an easy parasite to... And so all he does is he goes to lay on the earth, I guess about 6 to 8 hours a day. And then when he's laying there, he starts to see these colors around the trees. And then he realizes he never saw those colors before. And then it impacted his whole way of working with people, because he realized when people come to his office, he never saw colors. But then after being laying on the earth 6 months, and we did some sessions together. So what I find interesting is that's interesting what you're saying. Now I can remember my Rottweiler, by the way. So my Rottweiler, when he went to... go to do his business, he would kind of run. It was really hard for him to be settled. And so I never thought, that's sort of interesting. So I thought, well, it was a nervous habit. But maybe you're saying that these dogs, if I catch the story, that there's a purpose of their relationship with what did you call it? Are they in tune with when they're turning around? What's their purpose there? They're moving.
Well, I mean, it's more or less just their sixth sense, and they
have
a sixth
okay.
sense
okay.
of the magnetic okay. field in the okay. In the ley lines. So okay. I mean, like, you know, it's but for whatever reason, it's on a north south direction instead of an east west. Yeah.
I'm gonna share Sherry's our vision for Sherry over the next year. I'm going to share that with you guys. We're putting an event together in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, with the Dog Mystic in conjunction with Mountain Dog Magazine, with Melissa. We're having Sherry give a seminar at Dave's Pet Food City. Dave's has his own private brand. We've been working together with him. We're going to start writing the book, and what we're going to do in relation to this book, the Dog Mystic book. And then I'm going to ask Sherry the million-dollar question of the day here. It's going to be a powerful question. My question, I'm going to give you the question is going to be is, how do we let our dog heal us? And I think part of that answer is going to be very different for different people. But I wanted to ask Sherry, because I've always asked Sherry about these remarkable sort of rescue dogs, and I'm just curious to get more insight, because sometimes – there was a story I heard recently, and then I'm going to outline the rest of Sherry's year. I promise. I'm going to get right back to that. I heard a story recently, and I happen to like this particular breed of dog. It's called a Swiss Shepherd. Is there a missing? Or is it a Swiss? Oh, it's a Swiss White Shepherd. It's a Swiss White Shepherd. So I heard a story that made me think about Sherry. And the story was that this guy had ordered a dog from Argentina. And he was a very affluent guy, so he ordered this dog. And he had the dog trained in Argentina, sent to Florida, And then when it got to Florida, I guess either he didn't see pictures of a white Swiss Shepherd before, or he just didn't get it. And so when the dog came, he was scared of the dog. So his solution, and this is where crazy people, crazy dogs. And part of Sherry's mission is to help you guys develop your own mystical sense, your own intuitive sense, by being receptive to this intrinsic wisdom in the dog. And that's what I want to get into now with Sherry. So anyway, when the White Swiss Shepherd came, this guy came up with a crazy person solution. This is crazy. So the craziest solution he came up with is that he would get the dog retrained, and if that didn't work, he would have the dog euthanized. And I thought to myself, this is an affluent guy in Florida, and I thought to myself, like, what is this connection, you know, between animals or dogs and humans? And so part of my mission with Sherry is to be able to have this other education, because it's not just about yelling at your dog, sit down or shut up. It's really about realizing the dog's contribution to you. So my question on this segment, Sherry, as the dog mystic, and particularly that Dr. Randall said a few weeks ago that three Rottweilers helped this, I guess she's near 100 years old, one of Dr. Randall's patients, is the Rottweiler, each Rottweiler healed a different disease. What, if someone's listening right now and they go, oh, this is a dog mystic, because this is a dog mystic question. A lot of people want to get dogs, and part of why they want to get dogs, they would use words like companionship, they would use words like, I wonder if some people would use the word healing, or some people would say it's an emotional support dog. What would you say upon getting a dog for a new person to having a dog? What are the most relevant things of beginning to bond with the dog? So, for instance, the dog that I'm getting, and I'll introduce you guys to Donna, who breeds these White Swiss Shepherds. She's going to find me an older dog. And she said, well, it might take a while for you to bond with the dog. And I've been pondering this. What makes a difference when we get a dog, particularly a dog like a rescue, that's a year old or a year and a half, what makes a difference in that early stage of the bond, of the connection, of the deep? And how do we become receptive to that bond?
That's where being in the moment, being present in the moment. And as many times as you have asked me, way over 100 times, I'm sure.
Well, I'm really embarrassed now. I'm leaving the studio. Gail will take over because what she does.
But
I'm just kidding.
you've asked me about the breeds and what about this breed and what about that breed.
Yes, I love all the breeds.
I don't discriminate on the breed, but I mean, the most important thing is, especially if you're going to rescue, is you need to have that bond. You have to have that like, you just know, like, just from an eye from the eye movements, and just you, when your eyes lock on to a certain dog, that, you know, it's almost like you just, it's that amazing energy and all around that is putting you guys together. And I mean, of course, it doesn't always happen that way, but I mean, like, you know, that's what all people, if you're going to rescue, first, like, research the breeds. There's so many different breeds of dogs, but research breeds that would be good for you or good for your family, so you know exactly, like, what to look for before you go to a humane society or you go to a rescue, or at least take the time to actually go online and look at the pictures, because I mean, even from the pictures or the descriptions of the people that are fostering the dog, or, you know, the people that are taking care of the rescues, they know they've been with that dog. So then, like, you know, you, just from the picture, and then going to meet the dog. I mean, like, you know, even if the dog is totally petrified, there's still something in their eyes. Like, I definitely think it's definitely like an eye. You know, when you meet somebody eye to eye, or like, you know, just that connection.
Yeah.
You know, you want to find that connection that's just like that you can just grow and heal each other. Especially with rescues. There's too many rescue dogs that are just so grateful to be given the affection, And they need the healing just as much as the person needs the healing, you know? So,
I agree.
I was just going to ask you.
You were going to ask me?
Yes. I was just thinking of two things, Lisa. One was, I almost feel like Sherry, you know, Sherry's lying to me. It's sort of humorous because it was like, how many times are you going to ask her out? And I'm thinking, until we go out. No, but I think the thing was about the dogs. So thank you, Sherry. Thank you. So I think I started to say, and I think I've said this to you, Lisa, I would say that Sherry would say to me that. And I started to repeat it back to her. I said, well, Gail as well, well, until the dog picks me. This is the dog I'm currently wildly off the charts enthusiastic about. So I started to mirror her back to herself. So this next year, like when we were both seniors in high school, and I said, hey, Sherry, before you go to class, what about a Malamute? And then she would say, well, the right dog's going to come to you. I started to repeat the line back to her, and that's how we bonded. And then we graduated high school together, and that was it, right? Right, Sherry?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, understood. When part of, I think, any journey, whether it be a healing journey or choosing a companion, is really about surrender. And I know both Sherry and Dr. Gail would echo this. You know, a friend of mine, I had a conversation with him. He was feeling, you know, he was saying, in, you know, a few years ago, he was feeling so overwhelmed by all of these different things, a divorce and, you know, almost losing his home and, you know, all these things. And he said he laid down on the floor of this house and he just surrendered and he let whatever was meant to unfold. And he got peace. And I'd love to hear both Sherry and Dr. Gail comment about that when you take a breath and allow whomever it is, whether it be a companion animal or a person, to come to your rescue, what that looks like.
Sure.
Would either one of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to me, the first thing in order to heal that a person needs to do is trust, you know, trust what's going on, trust their process, trust their healer, but then also be willing to let go of the stuff that's blocking it. And when you said he surrendered and let go, that clears the way. That shifts the perspective, you know, 180 degrees or whatever, and makes an opening for the light to come in, if you will. But you've got to let go of the stuff that's blocking it first. And that may be your own stuff. That may be stuff that was put on you from before. Maybe wounds. Maybe a lot of stuff. But whatever. If you surrender, you're giving it over to something bigger than you. Mm-hmm. And then you can heal. Beautiful.
Yeah, very beautiful.
And it's very true. It's just like the surrendering and allowing. So you're surrendering to, you have no clue what's going to happen, and you're open for the help and healing, and then you're allowing all the feelings to go through and to be processed instead of being stuck in the body and in the mind. So that's the beautiful thing about surrendering.
Yeah.
And finally,
and you can end up with the best dog ever that way too. Unexpectedly. You know? So
I think what it was,
that would be the, yeah, for you, Glenn.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
when you,
yeah,
whenever you, whatever the dog is, you know,
yeah,
and you'll meet,
yeah,
them,
yeah,
and you surrender, yeah, to that moment. So in the same way that you allowed Dr. Randall, you know, to be the captain of your healing ship.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well, she was wearing a sailor's cap. That kind of helped. Yeah. No, she sent me a text, and it was such a beautiful text. She said, I want to be the captain. And the way she said it, I loved. She said, she was like, don't think about it, just say yes. And I called her up and I said yes. So it was a yes.
See, so surrendering to just say
yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it was the sort of yes that I could be tortured, you know, in a sense by my own mind. All right, so I want to share with you guys the passage when I'm speaking to Donna, the breeder. Okay, so we have this exchange, and one of the things she says to me is, I have all my admirers. I used to go to places to do live shows, and people would come up, and I had people who came regularly, and I'm so psyched to see everybody. Our upcoming events, we got an event coming up in Vermont. I'm going to let you guys, by the end of January, I got some events where we can meet each other in person. So, okay, so Donna is a dog breeder for the last, I think it's 37 years. So Lisa and Dr. Randall and Sherry, she says to me this one line. She says, well, she goes, I'm going to find you this dog, and I'm going to be totally patient. And she goes, when people come here, she goes, no matter how much money they have, she goes, I've turned down a lot of people that just have a lot of money because I don't want to give the dog to someone who's not in resonance with the dog. And what she said to me about the white Swiss Shepherd, and she talked about these dogs are like old souls. And I was thinking, yeah, I'd like a dog that's an old soul. And so I was sort of listening to Sherry in the sense that I wanted this to be very personal. And it wasn't coming in a linear way. I was sort of, because I really had a connection with. So what Sherry said about the dog is that when you meet the dog, I could see there's another whole level. It's hard to necessarily figure that out or kind of. So I'm very reverent of the process. I love that. By the way, so this last week, the topic of the week that I've had with my clients, and it is a book called The Surrendered Wife. And what the book's talking about is how what she learned in her marriage through surrendering. And then I met Catherine, who was on last week, and she's in a program. And she was saying being a surrendered woman has opened up a whole new world for her of a feminine power that's uncommon. And so she talked about becoming a priestess in this other way to receive. So we don't usually think of power of acquiring it through surrender. So Lisa, that was such a, so surrender. So when you look at the, if you will, the masculine and the feminine, and you could transfer this to the dog world, because sometimes the dogs come in like the Rottweiler. And I'm mentioning the Rottweiler because that was my own experience. And there's a fearsome energy, and we surrender it and go past our intellect. So an obstacle to healing is overthinking, right? And when you overthink, it's hard to receive the feel of healing that's happening, the feel of healing. And so that word surrender, and surrender, by the way, is not collapse. So one of the things when I would do my sessions with Gail, I wasn't collapsing. I was surrendering, and then I was, it's kind of like this. I was dropping into the earth. Now, when you walk, there's a rebound from the earth. So when you walk, right, if you really notice it, there's this rebound, but it's not as if you're collapsing. So surrendering is not collapsing. It's allowing.
It's not giving up.
It's not giving up, right? Right. Exactly. Share the distinction.
As a matter of fact, it's the opposite of giving up. It's just like letting go of that stuff that's not serving you, that's in the way.
Yes.
So that you can. It's not giving up, it's surrendering to a thing bigger than you.
I love it.
Well, I mean, it's also like the lady Allie that was on 2 weeks ago with her,
yes,
her brain injury. So she wasn't,
yes,
giving up, and she wasn't allowing her doctor's diagnosis to be what her life was going to be. So she surrendered to the healing that she was searching for.
Right.
You know, and That's the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Not giving up and knowing that you're going to be healed.
So when I hang out with Sherry, I want to ask you guys about this. So there's a mind that Sherry has. It's her mystical mind. So what she said to me was early on is that when she would go to the dog's house, the dog owner's house, that the dogs would respond to her very different than the owners, where they would be around the owners. And I thought, when I'm around Sherry, I want to catch that. I want to deepen that myself. Because I'm always curious the alchemy effect we have on something. And so Sherry, share a story of what happens when you go to the house, and it's, let's say it's a dog that the owners call violent. Like, what? Give us a feeling of your breath and pulse, because we didn't give the exercise. But let's use this as an opportunity. of maybe sharing, how do you find deep tuneness with a dog that seems like the behavior is kind of cuckoo? Or that's how the owners would describe it. How do you, is this something that, so do you, give us a practice that you use. I'm sure it's very natural. Give us a practice that you use when you meet a dog that seems on edge.
I guess it's just my I guess it's just my calmness or my energy or my calming energy that I guess fills the room where when I get in and like walk into the house, so the dogs actually like, you know, feel my energy because they have a sixth sense. But I mean, like, you know, the important thing for any dog that is reactive in any kind of aggression is to make sure that the dog is on the leash. And so it's making sure that the dog is on the leash and seeing exactly what the reaction the dog is giving to me, whether it's aggression and what kind of aggression. And then also, even if I do feel fear, then
yes,
it's only on the inside. There's no, my body language is,
yes,
more or less just portraying calmness. I mean, like that, and it's funny because I'll just say this real quick because I guess my reaction, especially with my boyfriend, on, like, you know, if we get into a heated conversation, I'm still so, like, so calm. And I actually just realized this because I've been training for, you know, I've been a dog facilitator. Like that word. I mean, I've been a dog facilitator / trainer for 19 years. So within these 19 years, I guess, because I have to stay calm in many situations, you know, especially with aggressive dogs or reactive dogs, that it has trickled over into my everyday life, where the calmness that I portray is just felt all around. So I mean, like, you know, I didn't even realize it, but I mean, I did realize it just from the conversations there, you know. So I mean, like, you know, it's even if you're nervous inside and your heart is racing, it's not showing them body tension, and your body language is so extremely important. Because the dogs can pick up on that body language in 1 second, you know? And I mean, like, you know, the main thing, and I'll give you a quick exercise also. So
okay,
your dog trusts you to feed him, pet him or her, play with them, and treat them well. In return, they give you their undying devotion, love, and protection. Their heart and souls are yours. So once you find that connection, and once you find that dog that you're actually like, and I mean, like, you know, if you're looking for a dog, if you're going to rescue a dog, then don't rush into it. And I love, Glenn, I love the fact that you're not rushing into it. But I mean, you know, that's why it's just, you're going to find that perfect dog, but it's, that's why it's just so important to take your time, but go and look at the dogs and meet the dogs and see, and like have that feel, have that bond, and you know, just and that eye to eye yeah, connection that you know that's the perfect dog for you. So I mean, like, you know,
yeah, 20 seconds to give an exercise, because I don't want to have that music come on, as much as we all love the music. Just kidding.
So
go on, give the exercise. Yeah.
Their undying devotion, love, and protection.
Yes.
Their
yeah,
heart and souls
yeah,
are yours. That's their gift to you. And your gift to them is to just totally cherish them.
cherish them and cherish the beautiful time that you have. So now it's time to show some puppy love for the people in your life who also deserve your affection. Aww. Do something special for each person, tailored to fit his or her wishes and desires. And just make it about them. You know, but you know, show the puppy love and show the love to the people that you love and really care and cherish around you, but also do it for yourself. Show yourself the same love you showed others. Do some things that you've been wanting to do for the longest time but never found the time, or just indulge and enjoy 2020 as a new year, new beginnings, and also give yourself the love.
You know, thank you. I want to say that we're going to feature some national authors to endorse Sherry's book, and one of them is I need to track him down. He wrote a book called Your Dog's Not Sick. He just wants you to think so. Your dog's not sick. And one of the things he says in the book, when the woman comes in and says, "My dog jumps up on this one woman at the party and, you know, sniffs her groin, and he's horrible with her." The psychiatrist, the veterinarian said, "Do you like this woman?" And she said, "No, not at all." She said, "The dog's taking your lead." Our dogs reflect us too. All right, have a blessed day. Thank you guys deeply. Your life's precious. Enjoy it.
Thank you
guys. Deeply.
Day.
Thank you, Chris. Love you guys.
Wonderful.